It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day so far. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, along for the ride as well. JoJo, what's up?
Hey, man. Great weekend. Good times. A lot to get into today. We got the eclipse happening today. John Calipari's leaving Kentucky. Chase McCabe in WrestleMania. I mean, what a weekend. What a fantastic sports weekend. South Carolina knocks off Iowa. Congratulations to South Carolina. Undefeated South Carolina Gamecock team. So well done by them. But what a great weekend, brother. What a great weekend.
It was a fantastic weekend. There were so many things, you know, to watch. I mean, you mentioned the basketball, the Final Four on the men's and women's side, and then the championship yesterday for the women. The men will fight tonight, and we'll crown a champion. We're getting two number ones. It's about as chalk as you can get in that one, but that'll be a fun one. You mentioned WrestleMania. That was fantastic.
I got to apologize to you, Chase. I mean, I know the wrestling world, but I'm not. I've never seen Twitter so alive with WrestleMania tweets and pictures and posts than probably anything ever. I mean, it was amazing, all the people that were on there talking about this.
Oh, dude, it was it gets people from all areas. That's what's so cool about it. And Cody Rhodes finishes his story. He wins last night, defeats Roman Reigns, ends a almost 4-year title reign, and finally does something that his father, the late great American Dream Dusty Rhodes, was never able to do, and that's win the WWE championship. So that was just emotional and cool, and like one of those things where, you know, you know that the outcomes are predetermined and all those things, but
it
felt so real and so awesome last night watching it. It was just really, really cool. So
even when Ian Rappaport put it out there, like, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever experienced.
Yes.
And that's a guy that's been in the Super Bowls and all kind of massive and huge games to do that. So well done for all those. You know, my son and his buddies were all glued to the set. You know, it just brought everybody together. I know it's rest. I get it. But still, it's our soap opera. It's a male soap opera, and it was fantastic.
Well, it's not just men. It's men and women now that get into it. I mean, it's just – and the thing is, like, I don't think we have to – I think we have to, but we don't have to be like, oh, I know what it is and all those things. You know, people love it. Like, there's a reason why it's over a billion-dollar global industry. There's a reason why the WWE went for as much as it did. And now it's like, it's back. Wrestling is back because you got two companies. I mean, WWE's by far, you know, head and above the rest. But Tony Khan has his and AEW and, you know, that product. But it's just watching it unfold over two nights. And just like, I haven't been this excited for one in a long time. And everybody's like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You want to go out? I'm like, nope.
Yeah, right.
I am doing, and like tonight is the Raw after WrestleMania. I will be watching that. So,
well, and then during the middle of all that, we get word that I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was too. And I thought I was like, oh no, people are getting duped on this.
Right. And it's a real thing. I mean, they're going to allegedly sign the papers today.
John Calipari going to Arkansas. And, Joe, what is it you always say?
Oh, thanks. Always stay, and friends, listen to this and write it down. Always stay one step ahead of the jailer. They were coming. He had one more year at Kentucky. What's he got at Arkansas now? He's got another 5 years. Who's the coach that left Florida for Georgia? You know, that hotbed?
Mike White.
Yeah.
He had Danny White's brother.
Right. He had one more year at Florida, goes to Georgia. He's got 5 years. Stay one step ahead of the jailer. Well done by John Calipari. And evidently, they set up this massive NIL deal for him as well. So, I mean, you can hate him all you want. And Kentucky fans, you can do whatever you want. But, you know, he's leaving, and he's going to be fine in Arkansas.
So, I'm curious of what Kentucky fans are feeling today. Like, how they're feeling. Like, are they happy, or they don't know how to feel, or they relieved? Like, how do Kentucky fans feel?
Well, I saw you know, you go to social media, obviously, but I mean, it was overwhelmingly like 99% Kentucky fans, like, see ya, Who's next? They're like, I think they now that, you know, because, you know, you hate when your coach, you support and then all of a sudden turns your back on you and he's gone. And but, you know, he brought you a national championship. Expectations were pretty high the whole time. But now I got, you know, we're talking to Jim this morning. You know, who's the next coach? I mean, if I am an established D1 coach, I don't want that job. I don't want that Kentucky job.
No. Yeah, no. I mean, I don't think this is going to be as easy for them to fill as maybe they think.
Right.
And, like, you know, I've thrown out that the next coach would be Nate Oates. I think they'll go after Nate Oates. I don't think he'll leave Alabama.
There are no expectations at Alabama, but he got you to a Final Four. He's basically walking on water down in Tuscaloosa. He has nothing to worry about down there. Just be happy where you are, man. Be happy where you are.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is an interesting time in college basketball, college athletics, but, you know, in college basketball. So, certainly an interesting one to watch. That is for sure. It's not one that anybody saw coming. I thought, like, if he was going to be gone, it was going to have happened already.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt with all that. So, he's on his way. Also, the other big news overnight, did you see this?
Morgan Wallen?
I'll tell you what, Morgan Wallen hits me with a chair, he'll have a whole new song to sing about. I mean, the fact that nobody
will he be able to write one?
The fact that he didn't he threw a chair off a 6th floor bar in Eric Church's new bar downtown Nashville. It landed 3 feet away from some officers downtown. Look, our great officers downtown have enough to deal with already. Then this bumbling bonehead launching a chair at 12:30 in the morning from the 6th floor. Is that not a deadly weapon? Am I wrong about this?
Well, I mean, what I read is he's got like 3 felony charges.
Yeah, good. Good.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, man. I tell you, boy, I've had a chair thrown at me in a bar, and it didn't end well for people. So I'm just telling you, man, I read that this morning, and, you know, he got in trouble. I'm like, oh, okay, just being, you know, he's basically a kid. But then when you launch a chair, I mean, what if he hits your sister down there or your brother down there? That's something else.
This was last night?
This morning.
Yeah. How did you
know? Wow. Yeah.
I have not heard about this.
Yeah. Dr. Crane's getting admonished in the studio right now. How did you not hear about that?
How do you not know? Come on. No, I saw it when I woke up, and I just, like, shook my head.
I tweeted out on Twitter at Big Joe on the Go on X, whatever. I found the arrest of George Jones when he got arrested on I-65 down in Cool Springs in the late 80s.
Was that when he was driving the tractor?
No. This is when he goes after the cameraman from Channel 4. And it is a I know he got arrested. George Jones, a legend. I get all that. But he just goes after the cameraman, and that's an arrest. That's an arrest for George Jones. But anyway, glad nobody got hurt last night, and I think Morgan Wallen bonded out. And his mugshot, I'd like to smack him. I mean, that mugshot.
He's smiling.
Yep. He knew exactly what he did. He knew exactly what he was doing. And, look, you can have your own fun, man. Just don't bring anybody into your stupidity, and that's what he did last night.
Predators win last night in the shootout in New Jersey. They dropped the game Saturday against the Islanders and then win last night. And so now the magic number is now 1. Basically, they need 1 more point. They will clinch their spot in the playoffs. Max Herz will join us at 9:30. We'll talk some hoops with the championship tonight. Vanderbilt introduced their new head coach, Mark Byington, last week. He'll join the show at 10 o'clock, and then Jonathan Hutton at 10:30. So we got a loaded show here today on the program, and looking forward to it. But the Predators, Joe, getting the win last night, much needed. It was kind of a fun one. They were down, having to fight. But look, you can never count this team down and out, because they will prove you wrong.
I was listening to Max after the post-game show. That's the first shootout the Preds have been in 4 months.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
And now they're 2-0 or 3-0 and all that. So it was the overtime NHL scares me to death, because it happens and ends so quickly. And the Preds have been fortunate when they've ended games quickly, really quick. But last time I was like, oh, and I listened to Pete on the call and on Hal on the call. I was like, oh, and then, you know, you go to the shootout. And I'm like, all right, here we go. And then they got it done in the shootout. So however you get it done, man, you get it done. They're back home tomorrow night taking a Winnipeg. And then I hope Bridgestone's packed tomorrow night. They win at home. They clinch the playoffs. And all's right in the world.
Oh, I think it'll be packed. I mean, I think you're going to see that for the rest of the year now. because they know that it's playoff time in Smashville once again, which was something that, you know, I think has come as a present surprise to a lot of people that this team has, you know, gotten to this point. But everybody should be on board and be excited about it.
They should be on board and ready to go because I think what, two more home games, right? Is that one Tuesday and then Friday?
Yeah. And then, no, Tuesday and Saturday.
Saturday.
Against Columbus.
Oh, that's right. Friday's at Chicago, right?
That is correct.
Correct. Thank you, pal. I pay attention here and there. But this is good. Playoff time in Nashville for hockey is fantastic, and so glad they made it. You know, it's funny. You kind of take it for granted because the Preds have been to playoffs for so many years. They always made the playoffs, but, you know, when they don't make it, and you're like, oh, man. And then you get back, you're like, this is good. I like this. And so, well done by the guys.
Mike in Nolensville, and you can weigh in on anything that we're talking about today, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike says, true Kentucky fans that want to win are beyond excited about a potential change. Well, I mean, there's no potential. I think it's happening. Josh in Kentucky, if we hire Billy Donovan, I feel better than I do now that Calipari is reportedly out of here. Deuces, bruh.
Right. There's this little groundswell for Patino, right? So you see out there. Would that not be fantastic? I mean, I think Kentucky fans would love it. If he comes back, redemption, grateful, I'm glad to be back. And here's the deal. Hire some really good assistants. It's not like, he's what, 72, 73, whatever he is. Hire some good assistants. Come back there. You know he'd love to come back to Kentucky. Kentucky fans would love it. Patino coming back home? Absolutely they'd love that. So I'm all aboard the Patino train.
I am too. I don't think there's a chance in hell that it happens, but I'd love it. I mean, it would be so entertaining for what we do. But dare I say it'd be good for college basketball?
It'd be fantastic. For college basketball, it'd be fantastic if Rick Pitino comes back to Lexington and does it. Yeah, Donovan would be great, but you know, once you're in the NBA making that money and not having to deal with recruiting and NIL, it's a different world. But Pitino, why not bring him in there? He would love to do it. Kentucky fans would be elated that he's back where he won a national championship in '96, took him to the finals in '97, and then, you know, he left after that to go to the Celtics. But they would love it. They'd absolutely love it.
615-737-1025. Weigh in on that. Who do you think should be the next head coach at Kentucky now that he is reportedly, John Calipari is reportedly headed to Arkansas? We'll discuss that and much, much more on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. The Game. Joe, you remember that time we did this at karaoke?
Oh my goodness.
Not a dry eye in the house.
We were in Boston and it was amazing. Chase, I'll give you a dollar. You tell me who sings that song.
I knew you were gonna ask me that.
nope.
It's hang on. It's does it start with a B?
It does.
Is it Bonnie something?
I need the whole name.
I'm trying to remember it.
Right throughout. Alex Trebek just ringed you out, buddy.
Okay. What?
Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, well done.
I'll give it to you, Chase.
That was close.
No, you don't give. You don't know. We don't give half-ass answers.
I don't want the credit for the answer. I just know it was close. I knew it was Bonnie something.
And you don't get 50 cents. It's not how we play this game.
I did find a dollar over the weekend on the ground.
50 cents should cover this. That would be fun.
Well, I was like, it's on the ground. A dollar.
Dr. Crane, I bet a few things about you, Dr. Crane. I bet you got like $1 million saved up and you have bodies in your backyard.
No, and
I just know this about him.
There is a dog in my family that is buried in the backyard. But like,
So Joe's technically right.
Right, yeah, that's right. A dog is part of the family. What was the dog's name?
I think it was Ripper. It was before I was born.
Ripper?
So, yeah. I don't know.
Man.
You have to ask.
So it's like Chase after Taco Bell.
Wait.
There
you go.
So the eclipse is today, and our question is, do you care? I mean, obviously, you know, back in 2017 when it went right through our area, we care, but I don't find a lot of people caring about it. I mean, we're like 95% in the totality, which is like not bad. That's an A, right? Still getting an A. Yeah, that's what somebody said this morning.
I think I was just looking. I was looking at a path, and it now we could go to Paducah, and we're 100% in. So we can load up after the show and drive to Paducah.
I'm good, but thank you, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I know it's cool. I really like. I didn't know what time it was coming through here until I just looked it up. Like I really,
is it
I really
1 o'clock?
Care.
Is that what time it is?
It's like 1 or 2, something okay. like that.
I think like I don't around 2:30-ish.
I don't have glasses. Like last time, you know, I got the glasses, and we had Darren and Willie up on the roof of the Omni and doing the show, and we played Total Eclipse of the Heart, and like all went in the parking lot, looked at it, and everything, and it was cool. But I don't know. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was 2017 was great. I was in White House doing it. I was on TV, and somebody asked me. I think Brad Schmidt asked me. Give me one word what I thought about it. And he put it in the paper, and I said, humbling. You truly realize you have no control in the universe. You don't.
Oh, yeah.
You realize you have zero control. On that day when it went dark for 2.5 minutes, it was very humbling. I mean, it was like, holy cow. And you realize how small you are in the entire world.
I just started thinking about the Simpsons episode, Who Shot Mr. Burns?
That's one of those, right? Yeah, that's a good episode.
You're right,
though,
Joe.
I feel like celebrating.
You are right, though, Joe. When you hear the crickets at like 1 in the afternoon and it's pitch black,
yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. So this is real.
Yeah, it was like 2:30. I'm not going to tweet it out like, look at me, but I'm not doing that. But I got the video and I was like, this was something. I mean, it was truly, truly humbling. I never forget, I was working with another reporter. And they were like, our story today is how everybody from around the world's coming to this town. And they're having a bake sale and it's benefiting the band. And I said, no, the story of the day is two things, the anticipation and then what you felt during the eclipse. That's the story. And that's what it was. And that was an amazing day. And so good for the people in the path of totality today that could experience that because it was wonderful 7 years ago.
Can I give a PSA for a second?
Yeah,
and,
buddy.
And I'm probably going to make somebody mad when I say this.
Good.
So look, I think this is it's everything you just said is spot on. Like this is a cool thing that happens, and it shows that we have no control in the universe, and it's a beautiful thing, and that you know that God's created and all that. Let people enjoy it how they want to enjoy it. Like let people, if they want to go see it, then great. Like there's going to be all these offices that are like, everybody come on out to the parking lot and watch the eclipse together. You just, you know, if you don't want to, then don't.
Right.
Like I just think when we do, when we have things like this, it just, and I'm one of those people that if you make me do something, then I'm not going to want to do it. So, you know, it's just like, just let people enjoy it how they want to enjoy it. Don't just like beat them over the head with it. Be like, you must come enjoy it. You know, like it's, I just feel like that happens way too much these days. So
all right,
that's my PSA.
That is your PSA for
today. And maybe I'm grumpy. I don't know. I'll check it out. I guess I need to go get the glasses, but I don't have them.
By the way, somebody won $1.3 billion in Oregon.
Good for them.
There was a delay in the drawing for a couple of hours. So that's not suspicious at all. Not suspicious at all. And then somebody won. So Powerball is reset to $20 million. I'll still play because it only takes one ticket to get it done. So just for those who are wondering, did anybody win Powerball? Yes, somebody in Oregon won Powerball on Saturday, or I guess it was early Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, good for them. Congratulations, and enjoy the eclipse.
Yeah, enjoy
while you're on your yacht.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you know, with $1.3 billion, I know you got to give half of it to the government, but you know, you can call Elon or somebody and get a rocket and watch it that way.
Yeah, and you can have a lot of fun with that as well. So enjoy the eclipse today at whatever time it is, 1:30 or so, and take it all in. And so it's I got the next was not till 2044. Pretty sure I won't be here then, but
yeah,
Dr. Crane will be. He'll take over for me.
Scott in Shelbyville, I do care about it. Took off work to see it if I can, just trying to see it, see if I should drive somewhere like Clarksville today to try and get a clearer view. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there. Yeah, I mean, according to Joe, according to somebody, we're 95% in the path. So I'd say those odds are pretty good.
Yeah, Why not? I mean, it's supposed to be cloudy or something, but
how now, does... the Predators have better odds of making the playoffs at 99.8% than that.
But, yeah, well done. You know, to do all right, who's a likely first-round opponent for the Predators?
That is a fantastic question. Could be... I'm pulling the standings up. That's why I'm stalling. Let's see. The Predators could potentially face... I mean, they're out of getting that third spot in the Central Division, barring some sort of miracle. So it looks like they would likely face the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay.
In the first round. Now, they got some work to do because they're only 2 points ahead of Vegas for the first wild card spot. So if they were to fall in that second wild card spot, then they got to go to Dallas. So
I wouldn't mind that.
I'm one of those people that it's like, well, who do you want to face? I don't care. I'm in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. Like, You're right.
I'll take whoever you got.
Yep, you're exactly
that's
right.
That's kind of how I look at it. So
I don't know. I like it. I just why not play Dallas? Or Dallas is really good, but everybody's good in the playoffs. And yeah. Plus, I don't want to stay up till 9:30 because those stupid staggered times they do in the playoffs.
Oh, I can tell you right now, if they play Dallas, it'll be 8:30 start, so it won't matter.
That's true.
So
you got to embrace it, Joe.
You have to. Like the Eclipse. Hockey. Like WrestleMania, like Morgan Wallen throwing a chair off the top of the bar downtown. Yeah, you just have to embrace it. It's all part of a weekend, last 12, 24 hours.
Patrick says, I work with about 20 people and only a few care, but to each their own. Again, love the show. Well, thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Scott says, I live in Bellbuckle, so it's a haul. But I may. My stepbrother and his wife booked 4 different hotels in 4 different cities. Finally decided on Nashville, Indiana to try to see it. He sent a picture this morning of a hardware store where they're charging $50 to park.
Supply and demand. By the way, Nashville, Indiana's got their own Opry House up there. If you don't know that, now you do know it.
No, I know that. Larry making a very tired and outdated joke about the Predators. Are they going to hang a banner? I don't know, Larry. Ask them.
What banner would they hang?
Yeah, I don't know. David in Arkansas, my area over here is in the path of totality and all the hotels are booked. I'm excited to see the hype since it'll be more than likely the only time. He's not talking about the Eclipse. He's talking about the shadow of John Calipari that's coming to Arkansas. So that's what he's referring to.
Good one.
We will talk to Max Herz, our man, pre and post game. He'll join us next, get his thoughts on the Predators weekend here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Little bit of a moon theme today on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Efforting Max Herz to talk about the Predators as they get the win in the shootout last night. And also, I had to pay a little homage to Cody Rhodes finishing his stories. Hope you like that. Coming back from break, but the Predators do win last night. Their magic number is 1 because St. Louis also won in a shootout. So the Predators just need a point against Winnipeg on Tuesday night to lock into the playoffs for this season. So just 1 point away, 600 points now for Philip Forsberg in his career with a 2-assist night last night. 36 points in his last 24 outings for Phil. Pretty amazing. And he's going to come close to 50 goals on the year. He's going to come close to 100 points on the year. Don't know if he's quite going to get there. I was feeling ambitious the other day, but he's got another hat trick in him. He can do that. That could help. But then how about this? Roman Josi, his 21st goal of the year. So you're getting contributions like Luke Evangelista scoring big last night with the 16th, but you're also getting the clutch guys are the clutch guys when they need to be.
Yeah. You still think Forsberg gets 50 goals now? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, he's got to have a multi-goal game to do it, but I would love to see it.
Okay. Well, let's hope he gets it there. Well, I mean, he's got 43, 44? What's he got?
43. He's one away from breaking Duchesne's record. He's at 89 points. So, I mean, he's probably going to end up with the record for points for the Predators is 96 that Josi set a couple years ago. He's got a chance to do that or be right around it. But I just think it would have been awesome You know, if he could have gotten to 50 goals and 100 points. I mean, what he's done is awesome. I'm not taking anything away from that, but that would have just been a cool accomplishment. But
is he let me ask you, is he one of the top 10 players in hockey?
That's a great question.
Because he never gets talked about.
Yeah.
And I get it with the whole we're in Nashville. I understand all that. But, man, sometimes I'll flip on NHL Network and I'll watch a little bit, and they never talk about him.
I think he's top 20. I don't think he's top 10. But I think that's the thing. Like, you take away a lot. You take away the games that he's missed in his career because of injury.
Yeah.
He's probably in the top 10.
Okay.
Like, he's capable of it. But, you know, everybody has said, like, he's playing the best hockey he's played in his entire career. And I believe, and Barry Trotz has pretty much said this, he made the coaching change to Andrew Rennet basically to, you know, obviously for the whole team, but a big part of that was for Philip Forsberg. And it showed. Like, Brunette has come in here and gotten Forsberg to a completely different level. And that's, again, not meant to be a shot at John Hines. That's just the kind of style that Brunette coaches and played in his career. I mean,
why can't there be a shot at John Hines? Why are we?
Because it's not a shot at John Hines. It doesn't need to be a shot at John. John Hines is a good coach, but I would say Andrew Brunette's a better coach.
Okay,
and that's okay. Like, so that's the way it is. Forsberg is playing a complete game like he's never played before. Like, obviously he's scoring. We knew he could do that. He's assisting. He's setting up plays. He's not always having to be the one to finish him. He's playing a defensive game that we haven't seen out of him. He's just playing a complete game now, and Andrew Brunette's been able to unlock that. And, he's still very much in the prime of his career. The hope is that this isn't, you know, that there'll be even more to this.
Hey, I know Winnipeg comes to town tomorrow night. Can the Preds still jump them if they get lucky and the Winnipeg loses five straight?
Technically.
Because the Preds got four left and they've got five left. I don't know. I'm just looking at standings.
Yeah. I mean, technically I think they could, but it's a lofty task. But now you just got to focus on holding on to that first wild card spot and getting clinched.
Why are we not finishing the season on the weekend? Why are they finishing it on a Tuesday? Is that a makeup game or something?
No, I don't know. It's weird because the Predators finish, I guess, a week from tomorrow, but the actual season doesn't end until a week from Thursday. So they'll have a lot of time off,
right,
which kind of makes me think, I've seen that the playoffs could start on the 20th, which I believe is Saturday. My guess is the Predators would probably play that day because they've been off for so long. So,
okay. Right. Well, just
we'll see.
See what happens there. Yeah. As well.
So, they get the win, and they're again, Winnipeg on Tuesday, Chicago Friday, Columbus on Saturday, and then close the season out at Pittsburgh.
Oh, at Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh. Let me see. I'm looking at standings now. Is Pittsburgh getting in?
They're not. No, they're going to go through what we like to call a rebuild.
4, 5, 6, 7. They got a chance.
I mean, they got a chance, but okay. they like Detroit's in right now. Yeah, they got a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance?
No, don't. That's so overused in radio, that saying. Gosh,
in radio, it's overused in everything,
especially
radio. What are you talking about?
Everybody defaults to that. So, yeah. All right. So good for the Predators. Win tomorrow. Just, you know what? Win and get in and figure out whatever happens after that, because you can say you want to play this team or that team, but once you realize who you're going to play, then you figure it out, and then you go out and you play, and who knows? Shock the world, man. By the way, nobody's talking about tonight's game, right? I've seen no buzz about the national championship tonight.
I was thinking about that the other day. Like, so I heard your voice in my head, which happens sometimes, and I'm getting help for that. But, I was watching the game, and it's like I started going, well, I kind of hope Alabama wins this thing. And then I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I hate Alabama. Like, I'm not doing that whole cheering for the conference and everything. But, like, I don't like seeing chalk. Like, I don't like seeing two ones play. And literally, it's number one, number two. That's what this we're getting tonight. And it's just now I'm like, whatever. I just don't care. Like, I guess I'm pulling for Purdue, just because, like, if they're ever going to win it, now's the time. You know, and they've been predicted to be there, and they've gotten close and all that. So now I guess, all right, good, it done. But you're right. There's just not a lot of buzz.
I mean, I wanted to see Alabama and NC State just because make a lot of people. Yeah, but I mean, this was the national. I mean, I go back, you know, I'm like you with NASCAR, man. I can go back to 79 when Bird beat Indiana State, where Magic beat Bird Indiana State. To win the title, I can go, and it would just be such appointment viewing. And now UConn and Purdue, that's great. It's just, I don't know. To me, it's still important, but it's just, I don't know, that kind of shine's not on it anymore. And I don't know why. Maybe it's just me, but I see a lot of things going on. Nobody really talks about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I'll watch the game, but like I said, I'm ready for the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, after last night.
Right.
So I'm going to be more into that than I am anything else. But that's just me. I mean, I'm sure. Well, here's the other thing, too, that they don't help themselves with. Like, why is it not on CBS?
Great question.
I don't get that. Like, we kind of went through this a few years ago when, like, oh, it's on TBS. And I remember going, why?
Great. That is a fantastic question. And off of that, you know, this much ballyhooed women's national championship yesterday, why was that not played at night?
That's another great question.
At 2:30 in the afternoon or 1:30, I'm out in a boot, man. I'm doing stuff. I'm yard working. I'm more
running. Are you wearing boots?
Yeah, I'm doing all kinds of stuff. Play that game at night. And don't tell me that, oh, it's WrestleMania. These are two totally different fan bases.
I remember too. Didn't they used to play it on Tuesday night, like after the men's?
They did.
I think it's the right move to play it before. But I agree with you. Put it in prime time because, like the other night, Friday night, a lot of people were locked into watching that game.
Oh yeah,
you know, Iowa and UConn. So, I don't really get that either. I think they're trying. Like I'll give them credit. They're trying to find the right window, because I watched both games Friday and then watched the game yesterday, and I can honestly say that the product is the best that it's been in a long time.
Well, I just put it at a time where we're all going to be home on a Sunday evening and we can sit around and watch that, and it would have been fantastic. I don't get the powers to be and why you do that at 1:30 on a Sunday. I don't understand it. You know, even I know the Super Bowl is on a Sunday, but it's also at 5:30, and it's the Super Bowl.
Right.
So put this game
at night. You could play the Super Bowl at 3 a.m. and people would watch it.
That's very true. So yeah. I think they missed a great opportunity again. And, you know, and it's all the almighty dollar. When you plug it in there, it'd have been, you know, what was on last night on, you know, sports-wise, what, you know, was it the Reds and the Cubs or some garbage or whatever?
No, Rangers Astros, I believe.
Ugh,
and then you had, you obviously had WrestleMania. You had the CMT Awards.
Oh, how'd you do last night? Would you win some awards?
I did not know.
Shout out to our man Jelly Roll, who just keeps kicking ass in these awards.
Jelly Roll and Lainey Wilson. Like, both of them keep kicking ass, which is cool.
I mean, look, and here's the thing. We're not patting ourselves on the back, but we've all known Jelly Roll, I mean, his name's Jason, for years, right? I mean, we saw him peddling his mixtapes and everything, and he even admits he was an awful person. To see this guy now, what he's doing, and Chase, I know, you know, we've dealt with him a little bit. He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He's such absolutely a good guy. Fantastic. And, you know, that church, the album, Whitsitt Chapel, is like a quarter mile where we sit in the studio here off of Murfreesboro Road. But it's just, I mean, it's just, there's a reason everybody loves him. I mean, everybody loves him. Now, what I'm afraid of is that some Hollywood executive is going to get to him and say, look, you need to lose weight, right? He probably does need to lose weight, but that's why we love him, because he is who he is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling some Hollywood executive that thinks he knows more than anybody has probably said that already.
Yeah.
To him, but, you know. Whatever. Don't listen. Here's what I loved. He did that Uber Eats commercial for the Super Bowl, and he made fun of himself because he looks in the mirror and he goes, somebody drew on my face. Like, that was right. That was fantastic. Like, I love and respect people that'll do that.
Right.
So that was good. By the way, Mike says the Super Bowl should be on Saturday night.
There's a lot of people that want that on Saturday night.
This is one of those. That's a really, really interesting text, because my initial reaction was, no, it should be late Sunday afternoon. Like, that's where, and I hate this phrase, that's how it's always been. But it's like, Super Bowl Sunday is a holiday. But that is an interesting, because you have so many people that have parties and don't want to go to work the next day and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it could work, but I mean, but they're not going to ever change that. It's going to be where it is, and that's how it's going to be.
Well, no, I'm not going to say never on anything. The NFL is going to go, we're already making billions and billions of dollars. Can we make more billions and billions of dollars if we move it? They're not going to do anything unless they know they're going to make more money.
True.
That's just that's the game.
Yeah, you're right, and that's it's just about the almighty dollar. But I think, you know, Sunday it is where it is. You plan your day around it. Saturday night, I don't know. Could be like, all right, what do we do Sunday? I mean, it builds up all weekend. But God, who knows, yeah. Man? Who knows?
615-737-1025. The Titans are one of several teams that will open up their off-season training coming up this week. I know a couple of you have some Titans things you want to get into. We'll do that next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Nashville Omni Hotel. 1025, 106.3 The Game. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. The Boss bringing us back on this Eclipse Day. We have found Max Herz, and he joins us now. Max, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, boys. What a thrill last night was. Preds almost clinch a playoff spot after their win. Ducks couldn't quite get it done for everybody here in Smashville, but it's always better to clinch with a win of your own, and they'll have a chance to do that Tuesday on home ice.
The magic number is one, so yes, let's just get a win and celebrate that and then be done with it, but technically all they need is a point to clinch a spot. But Predators definitely going to be making the playoffs, and that is obviously a lot of fun, and there's a lot of hype surrounding them here in the city.
Yeah, it's been amazing to get to this point the way the team has. It's incredibly well deserved, and hopefully the first of many big celebrations. And I mean, who are we kidding? We've had lots of big celebrations already, so it feels like what it should feel like here again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Max Herz is here with us. And so 600 career points for Philip Forsberg. And we were just talking about him, that Joe asked me the question, and I'll ask you the same question. Is he a top 10 player in the league? I said top 20. And I said that, you know, if you take away a lot of the games he missed in his career due to injury, then this might be a different conversation. But I also said that I feel like Andrew Brunette has unlocked something in Philip Forsberg that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I think the argument is there that he could be a top 10 forward. I think he's almost definitely a top 5 winger. I'm not really someone who thinks about the whole league that way. That to me has kind of always been an NBA mindset, not really the way people look at the NHL. So that's, I don't know, that's never been like my first instinct to say like, oh, this person is the best player in the NHL or at the top, however many it is. But he's been unbelievable this year, and he's 1 point away from the second 90-point season in Preds history, which was Roman Josi 2 years ago when he got robbed of the Norris for some reason. And he already has career highs in goals and assists and points, of course. And it's just been an unbelievable season, and his confidence is through the roof. The things that he does to create space, to create scoring chances with his hands, with his arms, the stiff arms he gives out, flipping his hands on his stick, the shots he takes, and sometimes he gets breaks too. And when you're playing so well, breaks go your way. Like Thursday night against the Blues on the power play goal he scored, he was well defended by Braden or by Saad, and it was a stick block on his shot that knocked the puck down, and the puck never left the ice. But Jordan Binnington was reading the blade of the one-timer, and he thought the shot was going straight up because that's where Phil wanted to shoot it. But it rolled right along the ice through Binnington's five hole and in untouched. And it's things like that. I mean, those are the breaks that goal scorers get. Yeah, you score goal scorers' goals, but sometimes you don't get your shot off and you still score. And that wasn't happening for Phil last season, and now everything is going his way, and he's become the leader of a really fun offensive team that reflects his personality and his play style.
Talking to our good friend Max Herz. You can catch him on the pre- and post-game show. And I listened to you last night, Max. It was good seeing you last night, by the way. Listened to you as I was driving around. I like what Hal said to you after the game about winning this type of game is really good because you earned every second. You earned every goal. I mean, I like this going forward because now it's like, all right, we still got this. You like that too, Max, the way it's like this team last night just fought, and got the job done?
Yeah, and Bruno has put this well a couple of times recently that they played unbelievably well during the 18-game point streak, of course, and basically have played almost as well since then. But the thing that made the point streak so special is that the close plays were going their way. They were winning the big puck battles late in games. They were controlling possession and things like that. And because of that, they were basically never down. But last night, like you said, very different. They did not lead at any point throughout the game. They were down 1-0 2 minutes in. They were down 2-1 early in the third. They tied it up both times, never trailed at any intermission at the end of any period. Overtime was a little bit of a thrill ride, as it usually is. But then in the shootout, the Preds did their thing. It was actually the first time all season that a Predators shootout shooter did not score when Nyquist got stopped in the first round. But Ryan O'Reilly took care of it. UC Saros was 3-for-3 against the Devils' big guns. And they just keep finding new ways to win. It had been 4 months since they've been in a shootout, and it looked like they do it every day. So really impressive the way they handled themselves in that game against a team in the Devils that I don't understand how they're not better with the offensive firepower they have and how good Jack Hughes is. But they're almost definitely not going to make the playoffs even after making a midseason coaching change. So the Preds continue to find ways to be the better team against a variety of teams in a variety of scenarios, and that's how you win in the playoffs.
Max, we always talk about Forsberg and Yossi, and rightfully so. They deserve their accolades. But, I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, is he the X factor for this team? I mean, I think it's gone better than they thought when they brought him in here. I mean, the guy does something great almost every single game. Of course, he got the game-winning goal last night in the shootout, but he's been fantastic, Max.
That's why he's Mr. Factor. He's been invaluable to them in every single way this season. First of all, to have the top-line guys play together 70 games in a row unchanged after all the problems the Preds had last season trying to find the top line, they were calling players up for their NHL debuts and saying, hey, you're our first-line center tonight. Help us get our top-line wingers going. Couldn't be more different this season, and O'Reilly has been a massive reason for that. All those guys have played in every game. They've been together. They've been producing. They've all stuck to their game. Forsberg, the scorer. Nyquist, the setup man. O'Reilly, the high-danger area guy. They play their roles so well. And O'Reilly is incredible in all three zones. He wins a ton of faceoffs. He kills penalties. He's been on the top power play all season. I'm just so happy he chose to sign with the Preds and that the Predators continue to be well-run in terms of cap space and decision-making and things like that that allow them to sign O'Reilly, whereas if he goes into free agency this summer when the cap goes up for the first time in 3 years because of COVID, I can only imagine what type of offers he would be getting. But an incredible move by the Preds, and this season looks very different without him, to be sure. You're right, Joe.
That is for sure. He is Max Herz, pre- and post-game host for the Predators Radio Network. Max, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night at Bridgestone.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. See you there.
Absolutely. Max Herz joining him tomorrow, pregame at 6, puck drop at 7 here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Coming up next, Vanderbilt has their new basketball coach. He was introduced last week. We'll get his thoughts on the championship game tonight and His plans for Vanderbilt basketball. Mark Byington will join the show next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.